And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, Man of Athens, was written by Joseph Mindell, is the third in a series entitled The Writer and His Time.
Let the accused speak. The court is waiting, Socrates. Have you prepared your defense?
I am 70 years old, and I've been preparing my defense all my life.
Then speak, but choose your words carefully, for your life depends on them.
There is little time, and I will not waste any of it in answering the charges against me. Men of Athens, why do you want me to die? You see, I'm asking questions again. All my life I've sought wisdom and truth. But when I questioned your wise men, I found only a pretense of wisdom. And in your good men I found no virtue. And in your pious men, no piety. I have said this out loud and plainly. This is why you want me to die.
You don't have to die, Socrates. Only stop your questioning and change your manner of speaking.
Acquit me or not as you think best. But whichever you do, understand that I would rather die having spoken after my manner than speak in your manner and live. Judges of Athens, I will obey God rather than you.
Citizens of Athens, you have heard the accusation and the accused. What is your verdict?
Guilty!
And the sentence?
Yes!
Jailer, will you tell me something?
If I can, Socrates.
About the poison, the hemlock.
Oh.
I've had no experience in these matters.
But there's still time, Socrates. More than an hour till sundown.
Yes, I know, but tell me now.
Socrates, you won't rage and swear at me like others who have been here in the prison?
Well, why should I? It's not your fault. Now, tell what I must do.
Well, when you drink the hemlock, you will walk about until your legs are heavy, and then you will lie down, and the numbness will creep upward. I won't do it, Socrates.
My life is already forfeit. There's nothing you can do to prolong it.
Socrates, I must talk with you.
I'm always glad to talk. What problem shall we discuss?
Jailer, may I talk with Socrates alone?
Yes, of course. I have work to do.
Thank you, my friend. He is a good and honest man, Cineas.
Is he? Never mind. It's all arranged, Socrates. There isn't a minute to lose. Come.
From where?
Well, out of here. Out of prison. The guards are bribed. They'll turn their backs. Even the president of the court has hinted that there would be no great outcry at your escape.
Then he has a conscience after all.
Come, Socrates.
Come where? Where will I go?
What difference does it make? To Sparta or Corinth or Thebes?
And what will I do there?
Do? You live.
Live? Will I? If the people of my own city find me dangerous, how will strangers receive me? Cineas, call the jailer.
I'm here.
Oh, you came so quietly.
You've prepared the poison. Yes, I have, but...
Why don't you go with your friends, Socrates?
No. Give me the cup.
But why, Socrates, why? Do you want to die?
No, Cineas, not more than most men, and not before my time. But if I live, I want to live as a free man. Jailer, a cup. Thank you. Oh, the hemlock is bitter. I was Socrates, and if my voice is dry, you will please remember that my voice now comes to you across a space of 2,500 years. But why? Why have I told you what you may already know about my trial and my sentence? I think I know the reason, and it is this: that every man who dies or who lives for an idea must know whether that idea survives. As for me, it may be that I know the answer. And let me tell you the story that you do not know. It began a few days after my death. Some of my disciples gathered together.
He's dead, Cineas. What are we to do?
Do? We'll live, Apollodorus, and keep a cautious tongue.
No. We owe it to him, to ourselves, yes, to Athens, to continue his questioning, his examination.
Do we?
I remember his words. You were there, Cineas, and you, Diocles. He said, the unexamined life is not worth living.
I remember, Apollodorus. Then go.
What do you mean?
Go to the public square and examine the citizens of Athens. Well?
I have a family. My children.
So did Socrates. I remember how they cried. You're not going?
What do you want of me, Cineas? I'm not Socrates. I can believe what he said, but I can't live as he did. I wish I could, but I can't.
I'm sorry, Apollodorus. It's not only you. It's all of us. He wasn't afraid, but we are. You and I and Diocles and Jason. Jason. You've said nothing, Jason.
I didn't know him as well as you did. I used to listen from the edge of the crowd. Cineas, I don't want to live in a city that can kill a man like Socrates.
All our cities are the same, Jason. Where will you go?
It's an island. Not far from the mainland. Half a day's journey. I passed it once in a fisherman's boat.
Go on, Jason.
The island is uninhabited. We could live there as we think men should live.
The Athenian Senate would never let us go.
We don't have to ask their permission, Apollodorus.
Oh, but, Jason, you don't realize what it means. You have no family.
I have a wife and soon a child.
It means leaving everything behind.
Apollodorus!
Let me finish, Cineas. We would uproot our lives. Our children would grow up citizens of no state.
Apollodorus, can we have roots in corruption? Don't you see? On our own island, our children will grow up free. Because on our own island, we'll live as free people.
I found some caves, Cineas, for the women and children to sleep in.
That's good, Jason.
Tomorrow we must build some shelters.
No. The first house we will build is a school.
Cineas, the caves are cold and damp.
If we had wanted comfort, Jason, we could have remained in Athens.
Right.
Of course I am. The school comes first.
What good is a school, Cineas?
There are no teachers among us.
We'll all be teachers, Apollodorus. But it will not be an ordinary school for children only.
No?
It will be for us, too. A place where every afternoon we will meet to discuss and study.
As Socrates would have wanted.
Yes. And we will recall his words and write them down, because he never did. What's the matter, Apollodorus? You're shivering.
I'm cold.
If freedom can't warn you, that maybe work will. Let's begin on the schoolhouse.
Well, I'm ready, Cineas. Only...
Only what?
Well, how do you build a house?
You mustn't judge them too harshly. Few men are very far ahead of their times. In my day in the city of Athens, men like these did not build the houses or tend the olive trees or fish the seas. But on their little island, they learned. 8 families, 22 people. They built the schoolhouse and shelters for themselves. It was hard, and they made mistakes. But they continued to build.
Here, Jason, take it.
Cleo, you know you shouldn't lift these heavy stones.
Oh, I want help like everyone else.
It's too near your time.
Oh, there are still 3 months, Jason.
Well, never mind. You sit down now. I'll work for both of us.
Oh. What happened?
Oh, I broke another blister. Oh, what's so funny?
You. All of us.
Well, I'm happy to amuse you.
Here we are, building a whole new world with tender hands.
What are you two so gay about? My hands are so sore I can't lift a pebble. I wish we had a slave or two.
Oh, a slave?
Apollodorus, they say that Socrates walked barefoot summer and winter.
Oh, it's true.
He trained his body as well as his mind,
and we're poor disciples of his. I wouldn't say this to Cineas, but between you and me, Jason, I always thought I could learn as much sitting on a soft cushion as on the rocky ground.
Oh.
Cleo.
Oh, my back. My... Ah, the pain is so sharp.
Well, is it... Cleo, is it...
No, I don't think so. Oh, I feel sick.
Apollodorus, explain to Cineas. Tell him I'll start work earlier tomorrow. I'm taking Cleo to the house.
I'm better now, Jason.
You still look pale.
No, it's nothing. You can go now.
I don't want to go anyplace, Cleo.
But they're meeting at the schoolhouse to talk and study.
No, I couldn't keep my mind on the discussion. I'm still worried about you. Is the pain gone?
I'm all right. I think you should go.
But why?
Because they'll notice that you're not there.
Of course.
And they'll talk.
What do you think they'll say?
Well, maybe that you're... neglecting your most important duty.
Mm. I see. Then let's have our own discussion right here. Tell me, Cleo, if it's a boy, what shall we call him?
Jason, we came here to be free to examine ourselves and each other.
We are free, aren't we, Cineas?
Yes. Therefore, we have an obligation.
And you can talk plainly, Cineas.
You didn't join us in our discussion yesterday.
I couldn't. I'll be there today.
Socrates said that to discourse daily on what is just and righteous is the greatest good of man.
I'm not arguing with him or with you. Cleo was sick.
Socrates was waiting for death in his prison when he said, I ask you to be thinking of truth and not of me.
Well, I'm not Socrates.
You can at least follow in his path.
Don't you understand? Cleo, my wife, needed me. Cineas, is it more important to talk about good than to do it?
Is that what I said? A man can say one thing and his listeners hear another. And yet... when Xantippe bore our first son, I was in the Agora talking. She was not a pleasant woman, Xantippe. Still, maybe I should have been with her. Well, the island colony prospered. One day, Jason, fishing at the water's edge, was startled to see a man, a stranger, lying on the sand, ragged and half drowned. And he took the man to his house.
Quickly, Cleo. Bring some hot broth. Now, don't try to talk.
My name is Demo.
Now, later.
Here, drink this.
Now, here. Now, take this down.
I'm from Athens.
Now, Cleo, throw a cover over him. I'll be back soon.
Where are you going?
To tell the others.
Wait, Jason, not yet.
Now, don't be afraid, Cleo. He can't hurt you.
It's not that, but he's so weak. Let him rest. Let him get his strength back.
Yes, of course, let him rest. In the meantime, I'll tell Cineas.
And Cineas will want to talk to him.
Well, naturally, we all will. There are questions to ask.
Like, who he is?
We know that. He's Demo of Athens.
And who is Demo of Athens?
Yes, you're right, Cleo. He'll need to be strong when we question him.
Who sent you, Demo?
No one. No one sent me.
Was it the Athenian Senate?
Please. I've already told you, the ship foundered and sank so quickly, I was the only survivor.
Strange that you alone, of all the passengers, survived.
You could have been put ashore at night, in the dark.
But I wasn't. You must believe me.
No, Demo, we don't have to believe you.
Cineas, it's foolish to take chances.
Aye.
Apollodorus, Cineas, all of you, what are you thinking of?
One thing only, Jason, to protect ourselves against Athens.
How, Cineas, by acting like Athenians?
We needed to be reminded.
Maybe Demo was telling the truth.
And maybe not.
But even so, what harm can he do? Do free men also have to be afraid?
Demo, you have reason to be thankful to Jason. We have an extra boat. It isn't far. You can sail it back to Athens.
But, Cineas, maybe he doesn't want to go back.
Well, Demo, no, I don't. Not to Athens. And where? I want to stay here, on this island, and be free.
And so the island gained its first recruit. Demo was a quiet man, helpful, considerate, a willing worker in the tasks that never seemed to end.
Let's lift together, Demo. There. Demo, I've been thinking. We came here for a reason, but your coming was accidental.
I have a reason now, Jason.
I know. But all you own is in Athens.
I have more here.
Your friends, your family. Don't you ever want to go back?
No, Jason, never.
All right, Demo. You don't have to.
The others won't make me go back, will they, Jason? Will they?
Of course not. Especially not a man who can lift 200 pounds of stone.
Oh, this is a heavy one.
Oh, let me pick it up for you.
No, I wasn't complaining, Demo. I'll do it myself.
Ah, your hands are still sore. Let me.
I wish I had hands like yours, hard, calloused. You didn't get those by debating with the sophists in the square at Athens.
I used to work with stone. That is, I was a sculptor.
Well, why didn't you tell us before, Demo? That's just what we need, a sculptor.
Right here on the cliff overlooking the sea, Demo. This is where we think the monument to Socrates should be.
What kind of monument is this,
Cineas? All the men of his time. He was the wisest and most just and the best. I can say it only in words. You're a sculptor, Demo. You must say it in stone.
I understand.
You'll be relieved of all other work, of course.
Oh, no.
It's a very important thing you're doing, Demo. We're grateful. Have you finished the design of the monument?
No, not exactly. That is, it's in my head.
Oh, I'm not hurrying you, Demo. An artist must work at his own pace.
I'm still looking for a suitable block of stone, Cineas.
Tomorrow we'll all help you look.
You mustn't. I mean, only a sculptor can recognize it.
The block of stone is still not a monument, Demo.
It takes time, Cineas. You said it yourself.
You haven't even touched the stone, have you?
No, I've been thinking of changing the design.
You're not a sculptor at all, are you? Answer me, Demo.
No, I'm not a sculptor.
Why do you lie?
I don't blame you for being angry, Cineas. I should have told you before.
No, tell us now. Only this time. Let it be the truth.
All right. For now, I'm not afraid to tell the truth.
What were you in Athens?
Because now I know that it doesn't matter whether I was a prince or a slave.
Answer me.
But I've already told you, Sinis. In Athens, I was a slave. But it doesn't matter because... Would you say something, Sinis? Why don't you tell me that it makes no difference? That here on this island, all men are free.
I've said it before, Sinis. We can use a slave
here. Stop it, Apollodorus. We won't pervert the reason for our being here to preserve your delicate hands.
What difference does it make to Demo where he's a slave, in Athens or on this island?
We'll keep no one here against his will as a slave.
Don't make it a problem of philosophy, Sinis. There's no reason why we can't be practical.
Is that why we left Athens? Because we were practical people?
I forget too easily, Sinis. Then what are we to do with Demo?
What choice is there? He'll return to Athens.
Sinis, there's another choice.
I see none, Jason.
I've worked with Demo as you have, and eaten with him and prayed with him. He's my friend. I want him to stay here as my friend.
Jason, you forget he's a slave.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm forgetting.
There's no place for him among free men. He's a slave with the body, mind, and feelings of a slave.
Didn't know it until he told you.
That doesn't change the truth. You know what Socrates would have said?
No, I don't know. This is something we must decide, not Socrates.
Be careful, Jason. You're making a lot of trouble for yourself on account of a slave.
A man, Sinis, and my friend. But not only on his account, on mine too, and even yours. Sinis, as long as Demo is a slave, I am not free.
Jason, we needn't quarrel any longer. Tell him, Demo. I caused you trouble, Jason. I didn't want to.
It wasn't you, Demo.
But there's no more trouble now. I'll be happy here, even as a slave.
No, Demo, it's wrong. You mustn't do it.
It's settled, Jason. We've all decided. Stop arguing.
Well, then we'll unsettle it, Sinis, and argue until we reach a just conclusion.
You don't understand. You are forbidden to talk about this any further.
No one can forbid me to believe that one thing is good and another is not.
Believe what you like, but we're tired of your talk.
Tired, Sinis? Or afraid?
It doesn't matter, so long as you keep quiet.
And if I refuse to stop talking?
Then you'll have to leave the island. Jason, no. We don't want you to leave.
Nor do I want to, Sinis.
Well, then stay.
If I do, I'll never stop reminding you that you pretended to build a world of free men, but enslaved another to do it.
Where will you go, Jason? You belong to no city in the world.
Do I belong here if I can't speak?
Think of your wife, and think, where will your child be born?
I remember what Socrates said at his trial. The difficulty, he said, is not to avoid death, but to avoid unrighteousness.
Yes, I know.
Sinis, but you... I have no wish to be a hero.
Jason, you don't have to go.
How can I stay?
And Jason went. But if I did not know it in my life, nevertheless I say it now. Even in Jason's defeat, there was hope, for something survived. An idea. And it survived because one man believed in it and fought for it. I think the fight can never be won for all eternity in any single age. I think that every generation must fight it over again in its own day. You who have heard my voice across the years, you look to it. In your time.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 25 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, New York, 10027. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Arthur H. Newlander, spiritual leader of Congregation Darkei Noam, the Bayswater Jewish Center, Far Rockaway, New York. Rabbi Newlander.
Last week, during the Hanukkah festival, we Jews spoke about the clash between Hellenism and Hebraism. The Maccabees, upholding the standards of the Torah, fought against Antiochus, the Syrian Greek, who represented the pseudo-Hellenistic civilization. It was a struggle between monotheism and idolatry. Judaism won. However, the confrontation between Hellenism and Judaism on a friendly level took place centuries before and has continued to the present time. The exponent of the best in Hellenism was portrayed a few minutes ago in the presentation of a man of Athens. Socrates was a great teacher of the highest aspirations of man as they were conceived by the Greeks. Ezra, a contemporary of Socrates, was reconstructing the spiritual life of the Torah and laying the foundations of rabbinic Judaism in Jerusalem. Ezra was the great teacher among the Jews as Socrates was among the Hellenes. Their methods differed, but they both aspire to teach their fellow men the way of the good life. Socrates asked questions. He believed that to teach is to put problems. He hoped that his questions would lead his disciples to come upon the true, the beautiful, and the good. Ezra's educational principles differed from that of the man of Athens. He believed that to teach is to affirm. He taught the precepts of what is true and beautiful and good as he found them in the Torah. For most human beings, Ezra's method is the more practical. Most people must be taught what the good way of life is. The Socratic method may achieve good results only in academic circles. When Judaism is on the battlefield against idolatry and hedonistic trappings of an imitation Hellenism, as represented by Antiochus, the struggle is a life and death struggle, and assuredly the higher culture must be victorious. But the confrontation between Socrates and Ezra can result in fruitful achievement. Judaism and Hellenism complement each other on an intellectual and spiritual plane. From such confrontation, we have nothing to fear. On the contrary, it results in blessing.
Thank you, Rabbi Newlander. Our Eternal Light drama today, Man of Athens by Joseph Mindel, is the third in a series entitled The Writer and His Times. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured today was Arnold Moss as Socrates. Others in the cast were Marion Seldes, Mason Adams, Robert Reddick, Mandel Kramer, Gilbert Mack, Ivor Francis, and Merrill Jowles. We invite you to join us next week when The Eternal Light will present City of David by Joseph Mindel, the first of a series entitled Jerusalem the Golden. This is Jerry Damon. The Eternal Light, produced for NBC by Rhoda Grady, is directed by Kenneth McGregor. For the seminary, Dr. Ben Zion Boxer of the Forest Hills Jewish Center is program editor. Milton E. Krentz, producer, and Sheila Feigenbaum, program coordinator. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This pre-recorded program has been an NBC public affairs presentation. This is the NBC Radio Network. Ooh.